Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Who are you? Let me just ask you that again. Who are you? In your industry, a bozo on the bus just like the rest of us? Are you a seeker? Do you know that you are a spark of God? Of a good relationship with intentions and goals is keeping in mind that the primary aim of setting and working towards those goals is to feel the way you want to feel. The external things we want to have and do and experience, those are your secondary goals, all of which will get you back to the whole cosmic point, experiencing your core desired feelings. Underpinning of manifestation.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was our wonderful sister, Danielle Laporte. Desire is divine. That means every pure wish that you and I have, it's bound to come true. It's just a matter of being patient, which is a big part of it all. We tend to be so impatient with the unfolding of our stories, and perhaps sometimes that impatience is what's creating discomfort inside of the soul. It's taken away our happiness. It's taken away our sense of feeling healthy and very good, psychologically very positive. You know, by many accounts, Americans are now living in very intriguing times, yet let's just say the whole world is in an intriguing atmosphere. Yet there was a report that Americans on a whole in 2017 were happier than in 2016. It was from the Harris Poll Survey of American Happiness. And that's not to say that Americans are especially happy overall, because only 33% of Americans surveyed said they were happy. And in 2016, it was only 31%. Now, the Harris Poll, which has been conducted a happiness survey for the last 9 years, had surveyed a little bit under 3,000 people, ages of 18 and older, and it really wasn't designed to find out if we're happier or not. But there's an interesting thought by the CEO of Harris Poll, John Gersema, and he says, it's interesting that Americans' overall happiness went up from the last year. It's a year of alt facts, means tweets and robots coming from our jobs. So Gersema was saying that either people are becoming immune to the news or there's a promise of change for so many Americans that perhaps felt left out or alienated. I thought it was really food for thought, because it is true. I've kind of looked around when I'm at the airport or out and about, and I look at folks on their cell phones or their smartphones, and they just seem happier when they're texting people or watching something on Facebook or YouTube. But I wonder if my cell phone or smartphone just gets taken away from me, would I still be feeling happier? Does my happiness really have to happen from something triggering outside of me, outside of the soul and inside? And many times we can feel it at a physical level, we don't feel our best. And a lot of us are also moving into doing things that are more health conscious, whether it's losing weight or detoxing. We do want to feel better. We want to feel great. And today we have the honor of welcoming our next guest on the air. Petra Kolber is an internationally renowned fitness authority and happiness facilitator whose work is rooted in the science of positive psychology. Now, over the last 30 years, she has choreographed and starred in over 60 award-winning fitness programs, taught fitness workshops, and appeared as a keynote speaker around the world. And Petra has also consulted for magazines and leading food and fitness product companies such as Reebok, Adidas, Gatorade, and much more. Her new book is entitled The Perfection Detox, Tame Your Inner Critic, Live Bravely, and Unleash Your Joy. Today I welcome Petra Kolber to the air. Welcome, Petra. Can I get some of your energy that gets me in an exercise mode? I don't know why I can't get going.
You know what? You're not the only one. Trust me, I teach exercise, or I used to for a living, and even I had a hard time motivating myself. Thank you. It's such an honor to be your guest in this wonderful show that you offer to the world.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I consider that I do have a pretty stable mind, and I'm pretty strong. I know that. And I know my mind is also quite strong. And I get up every morning, usually between 3:30 and 4 o'clock, out of love, not out of compulsion. I really love that time in the morning. So on a few occasions, I find myself either sitting in meditation or laying down, and my dialogue between myself is, Jen, you know you're very powerful, so why can't you just do 10 sit-ups? And for the life of me, I think I just don't have enough understanding as to why it's so important to take care of this instrument called our body. So I definitely want us to go into our dialogue with that. Congratulations on your new book, The Perfection Detox, which addresses the issue of a perfectionist mindset. So tell us, what is a perfectionist mindset, and why did you decide to focus on such an issue?
Great question, Jen. I think, you know, they say you learn it to teach it, you live it to preach it. And you had mentioned very kindly in the introduction, I had been, I'm going to put expert in air quotes, or I was positioned as a fitness expert through my 30 years of work and contribution to that beautiful area of wellness. And what I saw when I went around the world teaching amazing men and women, that as they were moving their body, and like you had said, you worked on the meditation, being friends with your mind, let's say, versus at war with your thoughts. And I think this also might be a little bit of the backstory of why you have a difficult time motivating yourself to do sit-ups, because the industry that I have been in or was in for so many years, we did a beautiful job of motivating the already motivated, but we had made the body the definition of success, versus how you feel as a definition of success. And so what I was seeing is, as I was stepping off the stage, people were moving their bodies, yet they would still come up to me afterwards and say, how can I get rid of this little piece of me? How can I get rid of that little piece of me? And you mentioned something about getting up early because you are inspired to get up out through love. You want to meditate through love. And I think that's where we went very wrong. People were moving out of a compulsion to try and be who they were or think who they should be. And I was also one of those people that I would step off stage and I was contributing hopefully a really great experience. But on the inside, my dialogue was, I should be smarter, I should be thinner, I should be fitter. This whole idea of enoughness. And so while I was training the body, yeah, I wasn't training my mind. So I kind of joke now that I'd spent 25 years studying the neck down, and now I've spent the past 5 years being fascinated about what goes on between the ears. And so I think it's this idea of not enough. Thank you. I think I had struggled with this idea of not enoughness for so long, and I was beginning to recognize that was the piece that I was seeing. I could feel it, but I couldn't put a finger on it until I went to school for positive psychology. I was like, ah, that's it. It's this idea where we've dealt with the body, we're strengthening the body, but we have a very weak relationship with our own heart, with our own thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that's with when I started doing my inner work. Yes, with the soul. And so I thought, oh, if I'm struggling like this, this, I believe, is the missing message for a lot of people, because we've had these negative thoughts, beliefs with ourselves for so long, we don't even recognize they're there until, like you had said, the work of meditation, underlying what's underneath these feelings, what are the thoughts underneath these feelings, and that's why I wrote this book.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I wonder if it's all karmic, and I'll explain why. Is it that we work, you know, 90% from the neck down, and that my whole karmic energy recorded in the soul was just about my physical existence? And is there something in the self that really just only has knowledge of the physical? And when we start to feel not so good, we go deeper. We step deeper in the resources of the self. And my body even looks good, but I still don't feel good. Have you ever given that some thought?
Yeah, I think I love the way you're such a wordsmith. It's beautiful. I think, and I've never looked at it from that perspective, I talk along the same lines but with a different language. So I believe the book is not about changing yourself, rediscovering, unpeeling all the layers of returning to the self, the true essence, the soul's calling. And I think that's the pain we feel when our thoughts are out of alignment with our soul's truth. That's when the pain comes. So my hope is that through this work, it's a different work. Meditation is absolutely a part of it. But I want to meet people where they are. And so it's like a bridge over to the deep work that you are doing. So it's when our soul is out of alignment, or our, let's put this the other way, our brain is out of alignment with our soul, we feel this static. And so the book, I always say at the end of the book, it's not about changing who you are. It's remembering who you always were before someone told you you were too much of this or not enough of that.
How does perfection actually hold us back from achieving our full potential? Because it depends on the family background that you come from. I mean, my father's Indian, my mother's African, my mother was, who cares, do your best, bless you, love you. My dad is, no, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to do this, this is how you sit, this is how you eat, don't speak too much, don't smile, don't let your teeth show too much. You know, it's all cultural, right? And what happens is that there is a notion, I believe there is a recording in the soul, as you mentioned, memory, that there was a time I didn't keep hurting myself, I didn't sabotage myself, and there was an element of beauty in my soul level from the spirit level. And that inner beauty was just a reflection of everything I did seemed perfect, the way I spoke, the way I walked, the way I ate, the way I sat. And so we have this other idea, though, that perfectionism is very external. So how does perfection actually hold us back from achieving our full potential? And what is the role of that inner critic that is in process inside of us?
Yes, I mean, I think like you had said, this is the dichotomy. We are perfect, but yet we've taken on this idea of we can't separate who we are from who we think we should be. Some of your listeners, I hope that when they hear the word perfect, it doesn't create that static. I say perfect is only a word until you attach an emotion to it. And in its truest sense, we always were perfect. But then we put this false belief of perfect meant flawless, faultless. Yet we know as human beings, we are deeply flawed, and that's part of our perfect beauty. And so I ask the person, or I invite the person listening to suddenly go, let's look at this metric of, I always talk about the weight of the scale, because that, you know, we often weigh ourselves. I'm like, no. When you think of the word perfect, striving to be perfect, maybe in your relationships, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with your family, your work, your career, does that bring you joy? Or does that suck the joy out of you? And if it brings you joy, don't change a thing. But yet, if it's sucking the joy out of you, let's revisit what you have taken on, what emotions, what beliefs you have taken on with this idea of I need to be perfect, flawless, faultless. So interesting, your cultural background. Like for me, I grew up in England where we had a very similar but different belief. It's like, don't think too big, don't stand out, don't dream too big, don't get too big for your britches. So for me, it was like this idea of don't be too much of something. So the moment I had a spotlight on me through fitness, it was this whole other battle I was going on. And the inner critic, I think people often ask me, where does that come from? And I think, like you had said, there's three different areas. There's the stories from our childhood that we were too young to know, oh, that's your opinion of what you would like me to be doing to be a good reflection of you in the family. Or for me, there was that the social culture of British, don't stand out too much, and also my internal childhood battle because my father was a drinker. Now going back home, pretty much everybody's father was a drinker at the time, but I was so young, I thought we were the only one. So then I took this idea of trying to appear perfect so it would cover up the internal messiness of my backstory. And then as we go through our teenage years, you might have a coach or a role model that really believed in you and celebrated your effort versus your result, right, which is where I often see people who have strong self, a strong, healthy self-esteem. They had a role model during those years. But often I think the inner critic comes through those years. Like I had some role models that told me you're not smart enough, you're not this enough. And their belief, somewhere along the line, and I can't tell you what day it was, I took that on as my truth. And that was the day my inner critic was born.
And is there something, there's something positive about the inner critic? It's as if it's trying to dig into finding the truth. It's just that it just has its journey, like you said. It took a particular time to go, ah, here comes the birthing of the inner critic. And then it takes that time, here comes the birthing of my acceptance of myself. So I want to talk about your book because you offer a 21-step program to live life unmeasured by unrealistic expectations. So what are a few of the most important steps that we can begin to take today?
I think the first step is awareness and mindfulness, like you speak about. I mean, this, the whole conversation that you bring to your audience, first thing is you're not alone. You know, when we move out into the world that's so busy, we are so distracted, it's very hard, or it's a, let's not very hard, it's, it can be a challenge to remember the goodness of being in the moment. So I think for many people, they feel so alone in this struggle. Like, I come off my meditation cushion or I do my morning practice, and then they start beating themselves up again. So I love the idea of changing our language, even in terms of changing the language of the conversation when you notice the conversation with yourself is maybe not your best conversation. Instead of labeling it good or bad, just use the words, oh, that's interesting. Like this curious nature, bring a sense of curiosity and openness to the conversation with yourself. So the first part, I think, is just recognizing that this static I might be feeling, and you had said so well, it's not from the outside world. I'm at battle with myself. So what is the conversation, or what are, I call them your top three hits. And I actually heard the idea of top hits from Tara Brach. It's one of my favorite meditation teachers that I listen to. And she said, you know, this idea of top hits, these thoughts that keep coming up over and over and again. And if we're not mindful and we're not present, we don't even notice them. And we don't notice the damage because they direct our focus of how we want to step into our day, our moment, the next moment. So I'd say, can you just bring awareness, take these moments of pause and respite throughout the day, and just check in and go, how am I feeling? And if the answer is, I'm not feeling that joyful. And, you know, life, I say life is interval training. We are going to have moments of struggle. But in those extraordinary of ordinary days, if I'm feeling less joyful, what are those idle thoughts that keep coming over and over again that maybe I'm neglecting and maybe I could breathe some life into and bring some attention to and shine a very kind light onto them to take the sting out of them? So I think one of the greatest things we can do is just bring mindfulness, kindness, self-compassion, and recognize we are more alike in this struggle than we are different.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Petra, your vibrations and just attitudes is infectious. And so I do know that you're living what you are teaching, and that's an important process. Tell us about where are you in terms of the book? Are you on a book tour? Are there any events coming up that we can definitely participate in?
Right now, there's not a book tour happening. The book released this past Tuesday of our conversation. So right now, online is probably the best. I'm going to be doing some online courses because I like to reach people where they're at. So a lot of work online, perfectiondetox.com. We can't take away community. I think that's what our soul is craving more than ever. So it's going to be a combination of online resources and then heart to heart. But I haven't gotten that set up quite just yet. But that will be available. I'll be posting that at perfectiondetox.com. So because I do believe online can never replace the heart-to-heart conversations that we need as human beings.
I agree with that. Well, definitely, if you come to D.C., think about the Meditation Museum. It might be a little bit on the quieter side, but I think the importance of the inner and the outer taking care of the self is so essential. And lots of good wishes with all that you're doing. It seems that it's touching the lives of many. So continued well wishes in that area and much more.
Thank you. And thank you for the gift of your time.
Same here. Take good care. Bye-bye. I love what Petra was saying, that you can spend such a big part of your life taking care of the area of your body. 90% of your energy could be focused from the neck down. And then you reach a point where you're like, well, what's going on between my ears? There's got to be something in my mind. There's something in me, something about me that still needs some attention, some exercise, some work. So if you'd like some more information on Petra, please go to her website, Petra Kolber, PetraKolber.com. I just loved her energy. I actually felt like coming out of the studio and at least doing 5 sit-ups. And I think if I just start, it'll become a pattern. And so I'm not going to give up hope on myself. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our conversation today. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. If you happen to be in Sacramento, California on September 20th to 23rd, come and join me, Marianne Williamson, Mayor Tubbs, Stephen Dinan, and a host of other incredible illuminators on how we can illuminate our country by starting with California. So just go to California Vision 2020. Can't end the show without playing some of our supporting underwriters of the show. And of course, you know our purest feelings here from all of us at the staff. We wish you all the best, great love, great happiness, and great light. Take care, everyone.
If you are seeking a top-notch dentist, Dr. Marco Contreras offers all phases of implant dentistry, restorative dentistry, and he can even make you look younger with his Adara Aesthetics that offers Juvederm, Botox, Fractura treatment, facials, and much more. Not only will you come away with a beautiful smile, but Dr. Marco Contreras believes beauty is inside out and a whole experience. You will love his meditative waiting room too. Visit him and his incredible staff that is committed to reminding you just how beautiful you are. With offices in Bal Harbour, North Kendall, schedule an appointment today by calling him at 305-595-1131 or visit him at www.drmarcocontreras. In a time of great change, California can light the path to a brighter future. We're in a land of out-of-the-box thinking, startups, and unprecedented ideas. It's time for a shift. Discover solutions. Let's create a world together at the California Vision 2020 conference held at the Sheraton Grand Hotel in Sacramento, California. September 20th to 22nd. Registrations are now being accepted. Go to californiavision2020.com and let's illuminate our path to a better future.
like a shockwave straight through your heart, wanting you back, and then the tears fall like signals and smoke, calling you back to the night. Feel the whispers tangle your soul, wanting you back. Don't you bring me back?
I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.